Okay, it's hour number two, and we are back. And we're going to talk this hour to someone I was concerned that I might not be able to talk to again on this radio program or on the phone or via email. But I am, you are, and we will. And his name is Clark McClelland. He is an American hero, a former NASA scientist, space engineer, and just all-around patriot. And Clark is back on the radio with us tonight, and I'm so pleased I can't even begin to tell you. Hello, Clark, and welcome back.
Hello, Jeff. I'm still suffering from the loss of my fiance.
I understand. Clark has been through a 1-2 punch. He, as you know, if you've been listening for a long time, had severe lesions develop from another very common disease called diabetes. On his leg,
left leg,
and it almost killed him. He fought and fought and fought. We did everything we could to help him. He eventually had to make the decision. Maybe someone made it for him. I don't know. But he did get the lower part of the leg removed. It saved his life, and he has recovered to the extent that he is now suffering a lot of pain, but he is not in imminent danger of checking out. So we're very grateful about that, Clark, and you've got a lot of friends out there, so I'm sure that
I know.
They're saying the same thing.
Well, it took me some time to find the notes and all that I gathered for Apollo 10, and if the people will just hopefully stay with me, I'll try to explain it. This was a very amazing mission because of the music that was heard, the music that was symphonic in a way, and like a choir, like chanting. That's what Charlie Duke said it sounded like.
Yeah, that was the mystery music. I remember that.
That's
now.
Right. And that's right.
This was really wild. At what point in the mission did they hear it? You remember?
Well, as soon as they...
It was kind of early, I think, when they got out into space. Yeah.
Well, they picked it up when they were flying behind the moon.
Ah.
And... then all of a sudden...
That's right. I remember now. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then the lunar module was separated from the command module, and that left one astronaut above the Earth to keep tabs on what they were doing in the lunar module going down to within 8.4 miles of the surface. Preparatory mission.
Total dress rehearsal, getting as close as you can to taking the vows and saying, I do. You say, I might, but they didn't quite do it. Yeah.
Well, anyway, Charlie Duke made the comment that it sounded like chanting, a choir, church music, symphonic in some ways. Very strange.
And it was coming in over a secure channel, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
And do we have a recording of it? Did they must record everything.
Oh,
so.
They did record it, but I didn't get a copy of it. That's for damn sure. I'm lucky I heard it.
Did you hear it?
Oh, of course I did.
I mean, I don't know if it got spread around. I know it was a public note in the media, but tell me what it sounded like. How would you describe it?
Well, the Apollo 10 was launched at from Launch Complex 39B. On May 18th, 1969.
Right.
And the command service module was called Charlie Brown after the TV series of Charlie Schultz. And the lunar module was called Snoopy. So we had Charlie Brown and Snoopy.
Right.
And it was a blue patch, which I designed. I designed their mission emblem. And I designed the Apollo 11 Eagle Landing on the Moon emblem.
I've seen those. They're beautiful. Yeah.
Well,
great work. The Apollo 11 is an historic... You created an historic artifact. It'll always be around.
That's right. Well, Apollo 11 also was helped... The design was helped with Michael Collins, who flew to the moon with the landing crew, Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a beautiful blue patch with a lunar module flying through the top of a Roman numeral 10. It was a blue shaped, blue shield shaped emblem, beautiful thing actually.
Mm-hmm.
And so I designed that and the lunar and the Apollo 11 patch too.
Wow.
No. So that's quite a thing. Thomas P. Stafford was the commander of the Apollo 10 mission.
Uh-huh.
The command module pilot was John Young. Lunar module pilot was Eugene A. Cernan. He flew Snoopy. And
they got down 8 miles above the surface of the moon. That was about
8.4 nautical miles.
They must have been. That's a tough thing to do, to get there and not be able to go down all the way.
You can bet on that, but that's what they did, 8.4 miles. But they surveyed and photographed all the sites that Apollo 11 and Neil Armstrong would have to know about. And, of course, they were also so, well, they were doing all this. They were hearing this strange music all the time.
Clark, again, please, what did it sound like to you? Can you describe it at all?
Just like they said, it was like chanting or like a choir. I called it kind of symphonic in a way. It was beautiful music, actually, but it wasn't something where you could, you know, it wasn't aligned like and written for, like on a music sheet.
But, it didn't sound like humans were doing it, or did it?
No, it didn't.
And I don't know that they released it. I don't remember hearing it. I remember reading all about it.
No, they didn't release that for the public to hear.
I wonder what they're... Why not?
They hold back a whole lot more than this from the public that pays the taxes to fly these missions.
Well, that's what you have so heroically contributed to all of us for so many years on this, over 20 years on this program.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. That's a pain that that Clark has to go through.
I got a strike in my left leg just then.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's a very good way to term it, a strike. It's like a lightning strike of pain.
It was a rehearsal flight. It carried the first color TV camera in the crew compartment, and they had another one located elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
NASA astronauts Stafford and Cernan flew in Snoopy to survey the Apollo 11 landing site below, and the Snoopy had a couple of malfunctions when they did this that became very dangerous to Stafford and Cernan. It almost took their lives, but you're not allowed to know that.
Oh, really? So while Young is up above, these guys almost bought it.
They almost bought it because a couple of malfunctions occurred that nearly caused what is called 8 rolls of the Snoopy, which would make it unrecoverable.
Uh-huh.
This meant that the crew came close to dying. Yes, mistakes did happen during this mission.
Wow. Well, again, you were sitting on the edge of your seat the whole time.
That's right.
You know, I've got some questions here, because in your absence, while you survived and have come back, and by the way, your voice sounds very good tonight. You sound strong, much better than last time.
Well,
I'm glad.
Okay.
So, all right. Now, I've got a lot of questions, because we've done a number of programs with Bill Tompkins about the Germans and the people you knew so well at the Cape.
Yes, I did.
And I've got some questions here that some of them have asked me to ask you.
Okay.
If you'd like to, I'd like to go through these and just do what you can with them.
Go through them, and if there's anything there I can't reply to, I'll tell you.
Understand. Now, just to make it clear, Clark, through personal promises and other reasons, is still not fully letting everything out, okay? What's in his book is astonishing, but there are still other things that are yet to come. All right, here's our first question. Now, when you were on maybe two or three times before you went away to get well or better, we talked about Aldebaran, and you kept saying, Jeff, remember Aldebaran. Always remember Aldebaran.
Aldebaran is where the Aryan race came from to survive and create what was called the German race in Europe.
Wow.
The Aryans. They are the Aryans of Earth.
Did Dr. Debus talk to you much about Aldebaran?
Not too much. We talked briefly on it once or twice, but he kind of stayed away from some certain things that he knew I wasn't going to go out and spill it to the press or anything like that, but he still kept it kind of with his own mind and self.
Interesting. Well, that's one thing that is forever to your credit. You earned the trust of these German scientists, and they literally took you in as one of their own, which is...
That's exactly what they did, because I have some German blood in my system. It comes from that nation that's just below Germany. What is it? I forgot the name. I keep forgetting the name. I'm 81. I'm starting.
Well, you got Spain. You got Italy.
Well, I was part of that one nation that has Germans. They're called the top. They're called the top level Germans.
Okay. All right.
I have blood from that area.
Well, they must have recognized that without question.
Did.
Now,
okay,
what the relevance and importance of the Aldebaran connection did Debus make at all to you? Did he say anything about this is, or we're going to get into this in just a minute. Did he say anything else about Aldebaran that you recall with specifics that might be of interest to us?
He just said I had German blood in me and that I was part Aryan, Scot-Irish and Aryan.
Right.
And he recognized that and he respected that of me because I have a 170 IQ.
Well, that's pretty amazing in and of itself. This allowed you to sit down and talk to these people. These are... It must break your heart to see what's happening in Germany today. I know I'm German and Italian.
It breaks my heart also to see what's destroying this country, too.
Oh, yeah. We'll get to that. Let me get to that a little later. Okay. So where did you come up with the knowledge that Aldebaran is the point of origin of what we call the Aryan race on this planet? How did you first come across that? Who told you?
Some of the German scientists would open up and tell me and talk with me about how this race came to Earth and started to try to help the Aryan race, meaning Germany and Hitler, to have advanced aircraft like the first jet and large submarines that could stay under the ocean far longer than anything we had.
And their flying disc program, of course.
That's how Hitler and his wife escaped. He didn't die in Germany.
No, no. We think he might have gone down in that six-engine Junkers enormous transport. They built three of them. Two of them flew. One of them was thoroughly airworthy. They flew that over Canada, down and then back across the eastern U.S. and all the way back across the ocean. And
that's right. That's what they did.
Yeah. It's thought that Hitler and Eva Braun went on that.
How many of the Americans even have an idea that happened, especially with today, with some of these stupid kids that are coming out of high school?
No, Clark, they're clueless, and they shall forever remain clueless, unfortunately, most of them. Okay. Did you know... Or do you recall when you first heard the name Maria Orsic? Do you know that name?
Maria what?
Orsic. She was supposedly the woman who in the 1930s was building the first discs that the Germans had.
Okay.
She is apparently, according to what we're told, the one who made it known that there was a method to go travel from here to Aldebaran, and at the end of the war, when Germany lost, she and a large number of people went from here in one of the craft that she and her workers built to Aldebaran. Call it a wormhole, call it a black
yes,
hole,
right.
or whatever.
Yes, yes, that's all. Anyway, I heard a transmission from Gene Cernan when I was in the Launch Control Center, and Lunar Module Pilot Snoopy, Cernan, who was communicating with John Young in orbit, saying, he said this, a few lines I could not discern on my paper because it's getting old now.
Mm-hmm.
Then Cernan saying to John Young, Lunar Module Pilot, CSM, we have music behind the moon. Staff also heard it. The staff that was with me and Dr. Debus heard it because he was with me. And Congressman Fulton, who was from my home state of Pennsylvania.
Huh.
He was there. They were all hearing this.
So you and Debus were together hearing this music?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
What was Dr. Debus' response? Do you recall?
Well, he was surprised, too. Very surprised. He didn't show much different facial features, but
no.
I could tell when he was really shocked or surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was my friend. I used to visit him at his home at Patrick Air Force Base. That's where he lived. He was totally under the control of military police there.
Yeah. Yeah, every picture of him shows a rather stoic presence. A man, obviously, of brilliant intellect, but who has been through very grueling times. And for those of you who don't remember or don't know, Dr. Debus was the man who literally was the director of NASA for almost 13 years, from the earliest days to 1972 or 73.
Yeah, he was there for quite a while.
All right. So nothing by way of memory of Debus, Maria Orsic, or anything like that. We got to get some information to you about Maria Orsic. There are still photographs of her. You'll find it very interesting.
It may jog my memory then. See,
yeah.
My memory is getting poor.
All right. Well, it's still...
Okay, the DSE, DSEA, the black box, the data server, flight data recorder, it was flown back to the Kennedy Space Center on May 29th or 30th,
mm-hmm.
after it was recovered on the 26th, I think, after they landed. And Dr. Debus had it in his office, and he had it turned on, and I was listening to all of the commentary that was being made by the crew and the shock and surprise they had.
Yeah.
But here's what happened with that. The public address officer, who was Frank Borman, who flew on the Apollo 8 mission, over, he covertly, he secretly did... He cropped it and took it out of cover. He covertly
edited the music?
Yes, he did. It was Frank Borman.
And Borman was under the orders of somebody to do that.
Oh, of course he was.
And I wonder where that music went. Well, that's so Frank.
Oh,
see, it's all controlled. Oh, they have it. Of course, they have it.
Oh hell yes! Anything that's done to us.
Yeah,
we're living on a totally controlled nation. It's not the United States of any longer.
No,
it's the New World Order.
That's
of
right.
North America, Canada, the former USA, Mexico, and the islands off the coast. That's what the North American New World Order is.
You see, you know and see things so clearly, Clark. We've always talked over the years about this stuff, and now here it is in the raw, right out in the open. They're not even hiding it anymore. They have no respect for us at all. None.
Of course they don't, because we're educating out of high school morons.
That's
a lot of kids are stupid kids.
Yeah.
They're being taught to be dumb.
That's what they're being taught and educated to be. You're quite
right. That's exactly what's happened. And Dr. Davis was involved in this. Frank Borman, Admiral Richard Truly, Dr. Adolf Canote, the senior scientist at the Space Center, and Congressman William Fulton of Pennsylvania.
Right. Well, you got to hear it. That's the amazing thing. Any guess at this point, Clark, as to the possible origin of that music? Where might it have come from? It was piped into a specific frequency receiver on the spacecraft. So whoever was sending it, it would seem, and the speculation was at that time that it was a prank. Somebody knew the frequency and they were pumping music in there.
No way. I heard it right off the recording device.
Right.
I heard it all.
Oh, I don't think it was a prank, no. But that's how the media was told to handle it.
That's right.
Because the story got loose, and then the media had to, NASA had to come up with, the government had to come up with some way to try to explain it away. So they saw it as a prank. Somebody pre-recorded it and played it on the spacecraft. No, that wasn't it at all. So
Apollo 10 was the AS-505, that was the mission designation for the launch vehicle. Mission successfully ended. Uh-huh. It ended, it splashed down in the Pacific Ocean about 400 nautical miles east of American Samoa. The crew were recovered by the USS Princeton carrier, then flown to the Pago Pago Airport in
Pongo
Tafuna.
Pongo or whatever it is, right?
Yeah, in Tafuna.
We're going to go through this break with Clark. Todd, thank you. Go ahead, Clark. Yeah, that's the recovery. Now, you're reading from the chapter about Apollo 10, your new chapter.
I'm reading from the notes I made in my handwriting and printing.
Way back when?
All right. 1969.
Amazing.
And the AC-141 cargo aircraft flew the crew, when they recovered them, to Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
Belgian King of Bodoin and Queen Fabiola was there. And
you were documenting this back when it happened. That's the fascinating part.
That's right. Vice President Hubert Humphrey was there also.
Uh-huh.
So that's who was there.
All
but
right.
They didn't hear what I heard.
No, not surprised. All right, let me go back and ask a couple more questions here. Did anybody, any of the Germans, talk to you about time travel? Do you remember that?
Yes, they did. Dr. Davis was the senior scientist creating the craft that one of them landed in Kecksburg, Pennsylvania. And it was launched by the Russians, and it was flown around the Earth. They had an explosion on board in orbit, and then the craft did survive. And what it was they flew it down through Canada and down through western Pennsylvania, and then they turned an eastern route from there, and it fell down in Kecksburg, about 30 miles from Pittsburgh.
When you say they flew it, was this a manned craft or a remotely controlled craft?
It was not. I know because I saw it. I was beside it.
Yeah.
I wrapped on the side of it, no return wrap. And then they stopped me from doing that, the FBI or whoever it was on the site.
Well, it is thought that this may have been, in terms of evolution, another deglock, much 20-30 years down the road.
That's what it was. And we did create the deglock, the clock.
Mm-hmm.
And we've flown it ever since, and even advanced in its design.
Now, some of the drawings of disks show what appears to be a deglock in the center of it, which would be the power source.
That's right.
So that's basically the engine or the motor or the drive system of some of these disc craft,
Dr. Davis was the scientist that was ahead of that. And then General Kammler, the SS General Kammler, he was Hans Kammler. He was working with Dr. Debus, and they said he died at the end of World War II. That is total bullshit, Jeff.
Yeah.
I saw Kammler in his office.
In Debus' office, yeah.
And I shook hands with him.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing to do that with a dead man. Mm-hmm.
That's right. They said he died two or three times.
Well, they claimed Hitler died. They claimed Bormann died. They claimed all of them died, but they didn't.
That was lies. Yeah. Total lies.
Now, let me go back to our these questions. They're very good questions. And do you remember if Debus or anyone else mentioned that time travel was a project, parallel project, hidden project, black ops project that they were working on? I think you suggested that.
They were working on it in Turkey, with the Germans were hiding the functions being worked on in Turkey.
Huh.
So it would be out of the range of bombers. And then when the bombers were finally able to reach it,
uh-huh,
they then stopped the development of it there. And Debus got Kammler to the... He was always with Debus anyway. And Debus said, you're going to take this to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in the United States.
Now, what do we, when you say take this, are you talking about Die Glocke, or are you talking about a time travel machine?
The Die Glocke time traveling machine.
Oh, all right.
It was all that.
Okay. All right.
And so he did. He took it on a cargo ship.
Uh-huh.
And he floated across the Atlantic.
Yeah.
And did it. And went up the Mississippi, up to as far as he could go to Wright-Patterson. And then they dropped it off there to be worked on. And then the Kecksburg thing fell in Kecksburg. It was actually a craft that was exactly the same thing.
So, in other words, some of the German scientists who had worked on Die Glocke had the knowledge, and the Soviets continued the program and built their own, and that's what you think crashed in...
That's exactly what's happened.
All right.
That's why they were able to drop one in Kecksburg.
Got it. Okay,
my legs
all right.
Starting to hurt really bad.
Can you move it or put it up? Does that help?
No, I can't, no.
All right, hang in there now. There's more here. Did you know anything about, since you did the patch design for 10 and 11, Apollo 10 and 11?
Yes, right.
What did you or did you not know about the delta-shaped Wellsburg Castle utilized by the SS for their Aldebaran ceremonies? Did you hear anything like that?
I heard it mentioned by one scientist that's out there. Then after a while, he stopped talking to me about it. But
okay.
That's all he mentioned was that. The SS was very secretive, and they had a lot of things that were done that the world has never heard of.
Supposedly, the SS and then the German military, aside from the SS, there were two projects building discs. They each had their own proprietary disc, so to speak, and they made a number of different sizes and shapes.
Yeah.
All right.
Right.
The Wellsburg Castle was sanitized by the OSS, that's the precursor of the CIA, after the war to remove any indication of what went on there at that castle.
The only
item remaining was the inlay in the floor of the Black Sun symbol.
That's right. The Black Sun was the secret symbol of the SS and the Germans.
So you've heard of that too. Yeah.
Hitler didn't know about a lot of this stuff either.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I was told that. So they kept it away from Hitler to a degree because they didn't want him maybe being captured and spilling on all he knew.
Right.
But but he and Ava escaped in a advanced submarine from the North Sea, and he didn't die in the bunker.
Right. Now, I've got pictures I'm going to send you of the Wellsburg Castle, and it's built in a perfect elongated triangular shape. You'll find it very interesting. I have pictures also of the Black Sun logo that was built into this beautiful polished granite or marble floor. I'll send you that. It does have characteristics like a swastika in a spinning circle. And then there's a picture of Maria Orsic. Is your computer up and running?
It's running right now.
All right, I'll send these over to you.
Send it to my... Do you have my email?
Just give me the last part of it. What's the name of the email service you use? I have many different emails.
I don't remember that either.
All right, is it a Hotmail address?
It's not a Hotmail. They destroyed my Hotmail. I had the Hotmail for 16 or so years, and the government wiped out my Hotmail email.
Well, I'll get it from you on the phone then, and I'll send this right over. All right. Now, here's some more. These are questions that, like you said, they may jog your memory. You may remember more in the days ahead, but these are coming from Bill Tompkins and other people who are intensely interested in what you know and the respect you had from those journalists.
I have a lot more knowledge about other things, but right now I'm suffering from a lot of pain in that left leg.
Yeah,
it's hurting really bad. So
I can tell. Well, we've been through this, and I understand.
To this, please excuse me.
That's okay.
Help it. I have to tell Jeff that it hurts bad.
No, I know. I know. Were you aware of Dr. Debus connecting with the Nordic women, including Maria Orsic, I guess, working over here in the States, not Maria Orsic, but working here via telepathic communications, getting signals from off-planet people?
That's right. They were doing that at Wright-Patterson, five or more stories below the ground.
Did Dr. Debus ever suggest that he had telepathic ability to you?
No.
Okay.
Dr. Debus was a very intelligent and very good man with me. I visited his home and saw his beautiful daughter when I was there.
Yeah.
He met his wife. He was guarded by the gate, by the security police at Patrick Air Force Base.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm sure that, he was one of the great prizes of the war, for goodness sakes.
Exactly, right.
They didn't want anything to happen to him. All right, here's another question. This gets a little deeper. See if anything comes back. Do you recall being introduced to Bill Tompkins, William Tompkins?
I may have been, but I'm forgetting things now, Jeff, and I don't remember.
It's okay, not to worry. And if you were introduced to Bill, would it have been possibly in relation to Dr. Debus at the Apollo meetings held in Huntsville with von Braun in attendance? There was a one-week-long get-together there.
Yes, they had those every so often, but I wasn't at any of them.
Okay. All right. This is very helpful. Bill Tompkins thinks he met you at the Redstone Arsenal in Huntsville during the week he was there. It's a long time ago, though, but if you didn't go to any of those, then it's doubtful.
I was never at the Redstone Arsenal. Maybe once I visited, but that was the only one time.
Okay.
I remained at the Kennedy Space Center in Cape Canaveral most of the time I was there.
Do you recall... So you only went to Redstone once, so you probably wouldn't have seen this. Did you recall or hear about seeing the U.S. flag with the swastika in a black circle in the center of the American flag that is said to have flown here and there? Okay.
No,
you didn't see
it. If I would have seen that, I would have gone up myself and tore it down and burned the son of a bitch.
Yeah. Got it.
I love the United States flag very much.
You came over, your relatives came over on the Mayflower.
John Clark came over on the Mayflower.
Yeah.
That's my Clark name comes from that. So our family's been here for 400 plus years now in this country. Now it's been destroyed.
Well, you and I need to talk in private about that because I've got some more observations that you'd like to hear. Here are just a couple more now, if you can.
Hold on.
Hang in there. It's all right.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. You don't have to apologize. But Clark, it's a miracle you're here, so don't worry about it, okay? It's okay.
Okay.
It's all right. What is the last thing you remember, if you remember, from Dr. Debus or anybody else? Was this common knowledge among the Germans about Aldebaran, the Aldebaran connection? There was a connection there.
It wasn't all amongst the Germans at the Space Center. Not all of them knew about that.
Okay.
Not all of them knew about that.
Right.
It's amazing how much I was allowed to hear and understand. It really is amazing to me even now today. I'm going to take a pain pill here.
Okay,
Hold on. I got to take some water.
All right. Now, if any of you want to help Clark, just simply go to his website, if you would. It's not hard to find. All you got to do is click on his name.
If they want my address, let me give them my address.
Okay, very good.
I do need help, Jeff.
I understand.
I need help really bad.
All right. Well, Clark's website, just for all of you who want to know, is Stargate Chronicles with a hyphen in it. Stargate-Chronicles.com. Stargate-Chronicles.com.
And all right. My address here is 8 Rose, R-O-S-E, Lane, L-A-N-E, Mount Dora, Florida.
That's D-O-R-A.
D-O-R-A, Florida, 32757.
Harry Cooper sends his best to you.
I know.
And he talked
you.
To you. Yeah.
You.
All right, I got two more questions.
Can I ask you a question, Jeff?
Oh, sure.
Did I ever send you the mission emblem for 11, Apollo 11, that I helped design with Michael Collins?
No.
I'm going to do that. On the back of it, I sign it, and I tell what it is, and it's a very rare piece of history. I'll mail that to you.
Oh, well, I'm very honored. Thank you, Clark, for that.
I don't remember where I put your address, though.
Well, I'll get it to you. Let's not worry about that right now. I have two more questions here. Let me ask these. Did Dr. Debus believe that those who went to Aldebaran would ever return to visit Earth in the future, and have they been returning now? That's what you said originally was the location of the people who came and worked with the Germans, the Aryans who came here.
That's the
from
Aryans
Aldebaran.
Come from Aldebaran. When I die, I'm asking that I be sent back there. I want to go back to my homeland.
It's supposed to be a wonderful place from what I've heard. I mean, I don't know how people get there except through some kind of physics that beyond me. Here's the last question. Did you have any knowledge that we all remember this, July 12, 1952, that massive UFO flyover over Washington, D.C., were those German saucers?
They were German vehicles that were created and built under the South Pole. They have a place, they had a place under the South Pole, below the ice, into the geography below the ice.
Right.
And they built a large, huge, like a city under there.
Well, I've heard this before, and many, many people have talked about that maybe some of our off-planet visitors gave the Germans an enormous place that was already built and not being used, that there were several cities under there.
Maybe that's true, but I can't say that for sure.
How do you know, what is the genesis of your knowledge about the fact that these craft were German? Did Debus tell you that?
They could fly from the South Pole up and fly over Washington, D.C. in 1952, I think it was.
Yeah.
And our military aircraft at the time could not keep up with any of them.
Oh, no, of course not. Did any of the Germans tell you that these were German craft?
Yes. Yes, they did.
And did they say it with pride? Did they say it with irony? How did they say it?
They were proud of it. They had advanced craft far ahead of what we ever had.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So they said that these were Germans in the craft, German craft from the South Pole. Now, since that time, has anyone else ever said to you anything about that event, that 1952 event, except that they were Germans, and this came from Germans themselves, so they would know?
Well, I guess they did, but Jeff, I'm 81. I'm starting to forget.
Right.
And unless I get this stuff up and on the paper, I'm not going to have... I have 33 chapters now of book chapters. And the evil, the extreme evil in this country do not allow me to publish them any place on earth.
It is that and more, my friend. Many of us listening fully understand the potential that has been realized by the dark side here. And they've gotten our country, they've gotten our people, they have rewired our young people's brains in many cases, they have de-educated
Lucifer
them.
And Satan own this planet.
Yeah. A lot of people wouldn't argue with that. If this woman is put in the White House, that will be the de facto announcement that this country is it's a nation of evil now. It's dead.
That's
as a republic. Oh yeah,
that's
it's
right.
Gone. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
gone. It's
that's
been
where
gone
we are.
For, been gone for quite a few years now. What happened was this, over 100 years ago, the IRS was created. I forgot the president that allowed it to happen. But the Internal Robbery Service is what I call the IRS.
Oh yeah.
Internal Robbery Service, and yet the brain dead people here don't even know it. They wouldn't even believe it if they were told. They're going to really have a party when I die, I'll tell you that.
Well, that's going to be a while off.
Okay. I don't know anymore. I'm feeling bad now. And my fiance died. I'll tell you the honest truth. I wish I would have died with her.
I know you were. I talked to you when you found out about it, and
it was horrible.
Yeah.
I didn't hear she died for about 3 months after she passed away in June.
That's very strange. Well, you were going through your turbulence and difficulties. So
my leg was removed in June.
Yeah.
Around the time she passed away, June the 20th. And I love my Ginny. My Virginia Carol Rose, very much.
Well, you know you'll see her again, so...
I hope so, but I don't believe in Jesus Christ.
I didn't say anything about religion. I just said when we leave here, we don't vanish. We may vanish physically, but we go on.
We're in one lifetime here, and then when we die, the electrical current in our body escapes. It goes up that tunnel of light, and it goes towards the sun. The sun is an electrical ball of flames.
Right.
We have, the human race adds their body of electricity to that huge sun out there, 860,000 miles in diameter. So that sun is made up of a lot of billions and trillions of human beings that have been born here and died here. The electrical current in their body went to the sun.
You know, when the human body dies, there is a measurable loss of weight. to the physical body. There's actually it's very, very tiny, but it's measurable. It's been measured.
Yeah.
And that's the mass leaving. Electricity is mass to a degree. Oh, and you're not going to like this. I just looked it up because I didn't know. The IRS, and you asked which president? Well, maybe you know enough about this president. It won't surprise you.
100 years ago.
It was more than that. In 1862, President Abraham Lincoln signed into law a revenue-raising measure to help pay for the Civil War. The measure created a Commissioner of Internal Revenue and the nation's first income tax. It levied a 3% tax on incomes between $600 and $10,000 and a 5% tax on incomes over $10,000.
And I do believe you know what race that money goes to on Earth.
Well, it's all controlled by a certain group.
The greediest nation on the planet Earth it goes to. Anyone thinking right now will know what that is.
Well, I think they all know. And you look at the top of the pyramid and the eye above it is, sometimes I think it winks at us because those are the people who are running the finance. It's all about usury. It's all about debt. It's all about controlling the money. They don't give
That's
a damn
right.
about politics as
That's
you
right.
know. Yeah.
It's
now,
getting close to the end of the show.
I'm going to have to go back.
And do something with this painful leg. It's
all
so
right.
Bad.
Well, hopefully that pill will start to work, Clark. All right. Just listen.
It takes a while for it to work.
Are you working every day on your Apollo 10 chapter now?
Not really.
All right. Well, when you can get back to it. How much have you written in your book about Dr. Debus?
As much as I could recall.
Okay. And
I did that. If my chapters in my book would be an astounding allowance for people to understand and realize. But you see, the evil nation of greed stops me from publishing it any place.
I've been trying to help you get this book published for literally over 20 years. I remember arguing with you trying to get you to write the damn thing because you had so many incredible stories, and you did. But published? Nah, too much truth.
That's right. Too much truth, and what happens when I die, I have no idea.
Well, let's not entertain that right now. Anything else that you could... Now, I remember when we did the program on Kecksburg, and people can hear that. It's in the right-hand column at Rents, and it's Clark talking about Kecksburg. He was flown up there with another... a scientist, we won't go into that right now, and he and this other scientist went up to check the object, the Kecksburg acorn-shaped craft, which was a German Die Glocke. It was a couple of decades further.
It was partly acorn-shaped, but not all the way.
Got it. I got it. And you actually got to go up, you and the other fellow, and touch it.
I knocked on the side of it to see if anybody would knock back. Nobody did.
And do you think that craft was powered by a Die Glocke inside of
it? Yes. Yes, because when it entered orbit, there was an explosion aboard it, which brought down the part that I observed when it came down in the field in Kecksburg.
Did when you were sent up there, did Dr. Debus see you off or tell you to go up there? Who sent you up there?
And I don't believe, well, Dr. Debus had to know that I was going there, but there's men that were scientists there that were involved in it.
Yeah.
They took me to the aircraft at the Space Center with the scientists that flew with me.
Uh-huh.
And then we flew up to the Kecksburg Airport area, and we landed, and they sent a limousine to us, or a car
right.
with a driver, and we were driven over to where the field was, and it was already surrounded by the military, already.
Loaded weapons, I understand.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
And you had a guard walking right with you when you went up to it. Was the object hot? Clark, do you recall, was it warm still?
I touched it, and of course it was warm yet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It only came down hours before I left the Space Center.
Right. When you got back, you reported and sat down with Dr. Debus and explained to him what you had seen?
Well, I wrote a report on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had the report copied, and I gave a copy of it to Dr. Debus.
Uh-huh.
He was very busy at the time, and I couldn't bother him too much. I knew exactly when not to bother Dr. Debus.
Right. Well, okay. I'm going to let you go, and hopefully that pain pill will work. And I want to welcome you back. It's great to talk to you again. Call me if you need anything, okay?
Okay, did I give the address to me here?
Let's give it again. Let me just help people out. It's 8 Rose. Go ahead from there.
8 Rose, R-O-S-E, Lane, L-A-N-E, Mount Dora,
Florida. M-D, or M-T-D-O-R-A, Mount Dora, Florida, and the zip?
Is 32757.
All right, 32757. And if you'd like to write Clark a little note, just a get well card, whatever, because he's doing this under tremendous duress and...
Oh, it hurts really bad,
yeah,
Jeff. I'm sorry to say it.
It's okay. You've always been
really bad.
You've always been honest about everything, and we have no problem with honesty here. None. I'll talk to you soon, huh?
You be careful.
Thank you. I will. All righty.
Okay,
good night.
Good night, people. Good night, all you people.
Good night.
Wise up, all of you out there. Please understand, wise up.
We're out of time. It's time to wise up. You got it. Thank you, Clark. Okay. All right. There's the return of almost a man who wasn't here, but he's here. All right. We'll be right back with more.